Do they want to testify before us on 150? All right, do we have any amendments for 150?
Mr. Chairman, is there a committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, there is a committee substitute. Do you have a copy of it?
I don't know.
There's a committee substitute in the absence of Mr. Stimson. Would you like Senator Stimson, do you want me to explain what we've done there?
Does anyone know where Senator Stimson is? Could be worse. We have before us committee substitute for Senate Bill 150. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 150. Finance? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, committee members should have committee substitute in their packet. We have spent quite a bit of time trying to work out a reasonable compromise on this bill. As you probably know, there's been a lot of confusion about what is the best way to go. What we have recommended at this point is that we take $125,000 to do an assessment of senior citizen, handicapped, and low and moderate income housing. Take $8 million for community regional affairs for senior citizen housing for this next fiscal year, and make a commitment for $8 million for the next fiscal year for senior citizen housing. And
Senator Dankey?
Senator Stimson, it's more than a commitment. Actually, I think we're appropriating $16 million in sections, and I'm going to read off of what I think is. I see the two drafts here. This one here, make sure we're reading off the same thing. One finance committee deal offered April the 9th has section 1 and 2 and 3 in it, and this one has us up to 5 sections in it.
Thank you. For some reason, I'm without one.
All right. But we are appropriating $16 million, $8 million in Section 1, which will become effective as set out in Section 4. It says Section 1 and 2 of this Act take effect immediately, but Sections 3 of this Act take effect July 1, 1982. So basically what we've had to do rather than the whole $16 million is to appropriate it, but have $8 million drop in July 1 of 83, and otherwise it goes the same.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's anybody here to testify. The committee members, I think, are all very familiar with this bill.
Senator Ferguson?
I'm just waiting for a motion.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion on House Bill 150, Finance Committee Substitute.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Committee Substitute for Response Substitute for House Bill Number 150 with individual recommendations.
All in favor of moving the bill out, individual recommendations, raise your hands. The opposed? Carries. Bill moved out on individual recommendations. Next bill before the committee will be committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 29, Plan for Alaska Agricultural Development.
Should have in your packet committee substitutes for House Concurrent Resolution 29 Finance as amended. Fiscal note that shows $800 and a letter of intent as passed by Senate Resources Committee. It's my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that it would be possible to consider passage of this bill with a fiscal note of $200,000. Was that the
200,000.
Mr. Chairman, I suppose the Senate Resources Committee, as well as the House Resources Committee, had substantial testimony and input this year regarding the development of the agricultural industry, and what we found is we're getting tremendous requests for infrastructure, development of new areas, without some really basic kind of coordinating and planning being done. And all this, though this was developed in the House resources, there had been certainly a lot of input by the Senate resources and various people they had before them. And I think next year we're going to be getting some very large projects, and hopefully this will get some people looking at what the long-range needs are so we don't stagger into it as we seem to have done this year. And I don't have any specific information other than that, except I think that it does charge the development of a plan, and I think that could be very helpful to us in getting the information we need for decision-making.
Right. Is there a motion before the committee to reduce the fiscal note to $200,000?
Mr. Chairman, I would so move.
All in favor of the motion, signify. Opposed? Carried. New fiscal note, $200,000.
Mr. Chairman, will the letter of intent accompany this?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Senate Resource Committee letter of intent.
All in favor of moving letter of intent, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Carried. I have a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would move with individual recommendations, committee substitute for HCR 29 Finance Amendment with the letter of intent in the revised fiscal vote.
All in favor of moving individual recommendations, signify. Opposed? Carries. Bill moved out. Individual recommendations. Next bill before the committee is committee substitute for House Bill 317, an act relating to emergency services communication. Anyone to testify before this bill? Not Senator Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, on the fiscal note on this bill, talk with the chairman and it's his recommendation that we zero out the fiscal note completely. The meetings can be held and paid for by the local communities.
We have a motion to zero out the fiscal note on this bill. All in favor? Opposed? Carries. Zero fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out Senate bill, the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 317.
All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Bill moved out. Individual recommendation. Milt, could you come for just a moment?
Yes. Excuse me, just a clarification question, if I might. That was the CRA that we just moved on to, version. I was signing.
Milt, if you come down at the end, please. I've asked Milt to come before the committee for just a fleeting moment to give a general overview on the fiscal status. We've had several reports of the spending of the committees or of the legislature or of the Senate, take your pick. It's all synonymous pretty much. We've heard reports as high as $6.7 billion. We've heard reports as low as $5.2. I've asked Milt to come and kind of give us a short briefing on just where we're at.
Mr. Chairman, based on the work completed as of yesterday on both the General Appropriations Act and passage of other legislation, we would estimate that there is going to be appropriated $6,391,000,000. This would be $645,000,000 over the amount of revenue that's estimated be available by the Department of Revenue. They estimated $5,746,000,000 was available. That was the most recent estimate. The $5,700,000,000 does not include illiquid assets, and the state has currently $320,000,000 of illiquid assets and will have an additional $60,000,000 at the beginning of the new fiscal year, because there was appropriated $60 million to the fish processing loan guarantee account last year that will lapse. So those are some veterans loans and small business loans and other items that technically are available for appropriation and therefore make the amount that you are over the amount available for appropriation substantially less. The legislature, I believe, has dealt with the problem possibly in the free conference version on HB1, the permanent fund, which provides that the amounts to be transferred to the permanent fund will be only those that are in excess of the operating needs of the state government. You could possibly, if there was still concern about the technical aspect of being over the amount estimated to be available for appropriation, make that or some other appropriation a two-year appropriation, some of the other capital projects or something like that. But on a cash basis, it's not believed to be a problem.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Sturgis.
That figures out then roughly your $645 million, and you have your liquid assets, in long-term, low pay return, and so on. 380, that's $265 million. But how about the bill, the SB 26, for instance, which it was my understanding that that money was in Treasury, would stay in revenue, and the call would only be made upon certain things happening. But since that is actually has been appropriated to a purpose, then it moves out of the ability, even that simply enters into the cash flow part. It does not make it available. The total amount is figured into this before we determine that we are 645 over appropriated.
Yes, I've counted the full amount appropriated.
So we have a very great difference between a cash flow problem as opposed to an appropriation problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sir?
That might.
In their hydro bills, I think if they passed, I noticed you were talking about 559, I believe. I think they went in 530. We talked about 25 million. I'll just, if you want to check those figures, it just passed through that thing. I don't know what it was. I think you were using 559 in the figures.
Mr. Chairman, the figure I had on hydro was 559.
Yeah, and it's, we were trying to sell it 560, but when it went to Creek Conference, I think it's
in
about
530.
You want to check that new
figure on this?
Senator Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Milt, in looking at this 6.3 figure, how did you determine what to include? Was that all the legislation that has passed both houses at this point, including the proposed operating and capital budgets? Or you've got to break that.
Chairman, in answer to Senator Stimson's question, the amounts
for the General Appropriations Act operating capital are the amounts that have been adopted by the pre-conference committee to this point. New legislation, supplementals, and special appropriations are a total of any legislation that has been reported out of either finance committee. And some of these amounts will undoubtedly be vetoed or will fail to become law because the legislation, in the case of which you have a fiscal note, does not become law. The amount appropriated for the fiscal note is null and void. So there is some overestimate there. However, the amounts are probably not that significant.
Yes. How do your estimated revenue, are you using Tom's revenue figure?
Yes, sir.
And, okay. That's not based on any prediction, or is that based on a prediction that the oil, that the world price of oil will go up in December? Or do you think that's not counting in? Or do you know?
Well, he has a number of scenarios, and the average is difficult to say, but basically he doesn't envision the price going any lower than it is right now, and on average it will increase sometime around December, I guess is a fair statement, yes.
Senator Stimson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you made your own estimates and concur with the Department of Revenue's?
Yes, sir, I have made some estimates myself.
Senator Sturgis.
and they are substantially lower than the Department of Revenue.
Yours are lower? By how much?
Well, my most optimistic estimate was $100 million less available for appropriation than the Department of Revenue. It's all very uncertain. The Saudis at any time could bring the market back into a tight situation by reducing their production. So,
thank you.
Hard to say.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Sturgis.
A couple of questions, if I could. Just looking at your loans, as you well know, Senate Bill 148 is under consideration, and we've had quite a bit of discussion about loans for apartments, and I'm wondering, there was a talk about a $20 million might be available. The HFC mortgages, I think that was already in, wasn't that an HB? We've already passed that. I wonder if you could run down the list here. We have those already gone through in all the bills, and is that $20 million that was being discussed, was that on a fiscal note with SB 148?
No, the loan package was part of HB 50, which is the current budget document.
I just wondered if they had that 20, you know where that $20 million is?
The $20 million,
you know, the one
is not in any other appropriation bill, so it needs to be added onto this list.
It would have to be added if that went, is that correct?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, that's what I'm trying to verify, because that matters before us, and as you know, the Senate position is not at this time, even though there's a lot of desire to add to a program for apartments. We have some concerns, and I was told that the House had considered the possibility of $20 million into that program, and I was just trying to verify whether that was a part of what we're seeing here, and Mr. Barker's telling me it is not.
That's correct.
Okay.
If we were to adopt
that, we would need an additional $20 million. All right. Mr. Chairman, Senator, just a second. There have been some valiant battles going on regarding the medical facilities guarantee. It was my understanding that that was at $55 million. I see it's $52. Has that been cut in the budget activity?
Let me answer that. Best I know, that came up in Greek Congress. I was called by Joe Montgomery and asked. He said, I have heard that it did not meet 55, was only 53. And I said, well, don't change that unless you check with Tom Williams to make sure. Because I was afraid what he had heard is that they actually wouldn't need that much. But you still have to appropriate that much, if you remember. They have to have 55, even though they may not have.
Mr. Chairman, there's been a great deal of discussion on that, and I did speak to Commissioner Williams. It was my understanding that he felt, as all the information I had, that it needed to remain at 55, and that's why I'm bringing it up.
I went back to be checked. It was supposed to be at 55, and they went to 53. Now, maybe there has been a change.
It's 52 in this list.
Joe was going to check that out. And
52 was in that marker. And this is hearsay, so don't go to the bank with it. But what I had heard was that 52 would do the job.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Bring us up.
Mr. Chairman, could you bring up? Do you want me to?
Well,
I have a copy.
Mr. Chairman, there was some discussion. There's a bill here in Hell that we passed out yesterday that deals with the clean water and sewer system for the villages. And there's quite a bit of concern expressed by members of the CRA committee. Sturge Lewski is a member of that committee, dealing with some evidence that there are some communities that are in dire need, specifically Craig, Alaska. And we know the reason why it's cut down to fit within certain budgetary guidelines. However, there is going to be a memo out tomorrow on the floor, and we'd like to discuss what position the committee would take on for to change that, to put that back into the bill, because it's of an emergency nature, as I understand.
Mr. Chairman, I can explain. I feel badly about this. We had House Bill 334 in Community and Regional Affairs. It was a very large program. The bill started out in the House, $21 million. By the time it got to us, it was slightly in excess of $14 million. We added two items, one a $1,500 item for the city of Shagaluk, which is in the bill that we held today on the Senate floor, and there was $700,000 added from the city of Craig for a major problem in that community. Senator Ferguson was notified that the limit on this would have to be, I believe the figure was $8,400,000. When that figure was brought to us, and it was a very late committee substitute, it did not include the city of Craig, and I think that that needs good consideration. Apparently, they had not, you know, checked that one out. It dropped.
Yeah, that figure came from the president, and it was negotiations with the House and what have you on the bill. So, as the committee passed it, that has to be the committee's position.
Mm-hmm.
What individual senators do, that's your own prerogative. But there's lots of communities around that have need for everything you can think of. When you start putting one, well, then I could tell you that the university district in the Fairbanks area needs a complete renovation of their sewage system. And, you know, there's just no end to it if we want to open a bill up on the floor. But here again, that's each individual's prerogatives. One thing, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll be taking up House Bill 31. And we've been meeting to meet again.
Fine. Mr. Chairman, we'll be ready to. Now, bringing out the matter, I think that it's difficult, Senator, and I understand the position you're raising, but it's difficult when, I prefer, I don't know whether we ask for the bill back so we could have that considered. It was when Senator Ferguson took that bill, I think it's extremely unfortunate that Senator Ziegler or Senator Eliason were not contacted regarding that particular thing. It was in the bill and, you know, had review. I don't think any of us noticed it went through because that was laid on the table and simply acted like that. So I think there are some different circumstances than adding on. I understand, and that's why we're bringing it back here. We don't like things added on the floor. It should go through the committee review. And Senator Dankworth, you have any comments on this? The 7th? No, we're talking about 334, which was the city of
334, and that's when he took 3 to 2.
It took the 15 down to the $8 million on sewer and water, but it came back. All of those were pretty much either municipal or rural projects, and the ones that came back were all, you know, rural, but they dropped out.
Where is that right now?
It was on the floor, but it was held.
It was held, okay. And then what your suggestion is, I understand it. I don't think it was Ferguson's intent. I thought to cut out that particular program, but he just grabbed something. We didn't check it, so I don't know.
No, I guess it gets back to another point, Mr. Chairman, is that we passed a bill out of committee yesterday which was $3 million. I think it was about 4 or 5 new passes, and there was an effort made before the House to reduce the $1 million, and the chairman of the Finance Committee got up and had no objection, so we took $1 million off that bill. So, in fact, we do have funds available if we're going to put them in the same context. I guess what we want to know is, Senator Ziegler's an office amendment, and the information we've had is if the projects are being judged upon the merits, this would be probably the number one in the state that was dropped out. Arbitrarily, they were unaware of it.
What do you want to do about it? That's the question.
The question is, if in fact you're going to get it back in,
I don't know. Saying, if you tell me how you want it done, can we take it to rules and put it on, or do you want to amend it on the floor?
Mr. Chairman. I think it would be most appropriate if there's an interest in doing that and returning it to rule and having the amendment made there.
John, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, the floor is the wrong place to open up any, and I say any, appropriation bill, because there's 20 of us sitting in there, and in our respective districts, we all have projects that are just as equally as good as somebody else's. I think the floor is absolutely the wrong place to open up any appropriation bill.
And Mr. Chairman, I agree with that, and I don't like to speak when Senator Ferguson is not here, but that's the way I felt about this morning. I was not going to go against your lead, and you'll notice it did support that, but I really think this is the place for discussion of fiscal notes and so on, and not the floor.
If nothing's further, we'll have it go return to rules for an amendment. As I said, Senator Zuski, we'll have it posted downstairs. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, House Bill 31 will be first up to bat.
Mr. Chairman, I do have there's a sectional analysis been done by the resources staff, and that should be in your packets. I would hope there you know, I don't know that we'd need much discussion on it. Who would you suggest, other than Senator Fahrenkamp and her staff? Would you?
I think the deputy commissioner, who was here yesterday for a couple hours and showed interest, he probably should be here.
Is that Mr. Haynes?
Jeff Haynes.
Okay. And would you like just a brief overview of the pertinent things on it?
Very brief. We do have a few minor amendments, like $14 million fiscal note for the cadastral surveying team.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that fiscal note's already been prepared, though.
It's prepared, but we have to officially adopt it
procedurally,
and then there's a couple other minor amendments. Bill, thank you very much.
Finance by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the relocation of the state capitol, repealing and enacting the law enacted by the initiative properly known as Frank Initiative to provide for determination of cost of capital relocation. I think that everybody's pretty well aware that it seems that there's been pretty good agreement that this is about as close as we can get to resolving this question and putting the vote before the people. So I haven't
asked. What are you talking
about? 603. So for that purpose, I haven't asked anyone to come and get involved in it other than on the floor. So,
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I move we pass Committee Substitute House Bill 603 out with individual recommendations.
Objection.
All in favor?
Mr. Chairman, I have one question.
Yes.
Is this identical bill that passed the Senate State Affairs 3 days ago?
I beg your pardon? Is it one that passed state affairs?
Right. Has there been any changes?
Gosh, I'm hesitant to answer that. Does anyone have the answer to that? I don't. It's my opinion that I would want to say no. If it's the one that the governor and everybody agreed on, I think that's the one. This is the one that's the one. But, I can have that question before we move it out of rules, if you want, just make sure it's the right
thing. I think, I'm certainly not going to sign a committee for it too fast if it's not the same bill, but it is, I would.
Well, can we find out how, I don't know who drew this one up, if we changed it. Let's find out if it's the same bill. Probably is. Let's set it even this one. Dick, Secretary says it's the same bill.
Has the Senate
State Affairs? Does that answer your
question? Mr. Chairman, if I may, under discussion, we sat through a couple hours of public hearings on the bill where the anti-movers and the pro-movers and the governor's office. None of them were totally satisfied with it. However, they all agreed it was the best bill under the circumstances. And those of us who have opposed the capital movement do not object to putting on the ballot.
All right. Who had the objection?
I removed my objection.
Okay, the objection's been removed, so the bill, if there's no further objection, the bill will be moved out on individual recommendations. For the purpose of knowing that there's no fiscal note to this bill, it would be handled in an appropriation, a separate appropriation when that amount's decided, so we can vote on that separately. Where's the 434? Is that emerging? The next bill that we'll take up is Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 434, an act relating to pipeline and merging the Alaska Pipeline Commission with the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, providing for an effective date. Are any of the members carrying this bill? If not, I will. Okay, I've asked that we have someone here from the governor's office. Keith Specking, are you going to, or do you have
Chairman,
someone?
Attorney General, I'd like to
excellent.
Respond to that. I'd like to briefly inform the committee.
Certainly, you're both welcome to sit down. If you identify yourself and comment on the bill.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'm Keith Specking, Legislative Assistant Governor Hammond. And the brief comments that I would like to make is that one of the principal thrusts here was in the interest of better administration and the reduction of what might be duplicated effort at The Attorney General will fill in the committee with the details necessary, but I want to talk briefly about the personnel related to that because of the kinds of questions and that I've had with various members of the legislative body as this bill has proceeded through the system. There was an erroneous presumption on the part of some that one of the incumbents of the Pipeline Commission might be continued on and as an appointee by the governor of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. This has been an erroneous presumption. The person in question, Karen Corey's name will be removed from your list of those requested for confirmation inasmuch as she is coming to work directly for the governor's office. I just simply thought it fair to make the committee aware of that. With that, I'll stop my testimony.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speckin. Maybe to be Attorney General, did you have any comments?
Well, I had maybe to be Attorney General Wilson kind of. The comments that I wanted to make about this bill are that it's from our perspective very important that something be done now rather than next year in terms of making a decision about what's going to be done with the Pipeline Commission. We support its merger with the Public Utilities Commission, but if that is not going to be done, the decision not to do that should be made now, too. The Pipeline Commission will be sunsetted at the end of this year, and we'll go through the year of transition. We're just starting phase two of the TAPS tariff case, and we need some stability in that organization as we launch into that part of the case. We either need to know that there is going to be a separate pipeline commission and it's going to have to staff itself up to handle that part of the case, or it's got to go over to the Public Utilities Commission and they've got to staff themselves up to handle the case, and that's why it's important that something be done now. And I don't think I need to say any more about it.
Are there any questions before the committee on this particular legislation? The chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move we pass committee substitute House Bill 434 out with individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? If not, the bill is moved out on individual recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, gentlemen. Senate bill. We can bring up Senate Bill 64 at this time. I understand there's still a witness that might want to testify, or he might be coming through the door. Somebody can testify on 565. So I'll.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear a word you said, but I'm sure you said it clearly.
Oh, okay. I apologize to you. I would like to bring up Senate Bill 64. I had wanted to bring up another one, but I was going to. I don't have time to do it.
What are you talking about now?
Senate Bill 64.
They pulled up some.
Okay, Senate Bill 64, an act relating to labor relations between school boards and other public employees and other employees is before us.
What do you guys stop on Senate bills?
Behave yourself. Go through the chair with you, please. Don't leave, Senator.
I got to leave, too.
I'd like to leave.
What's this for?
What's this for? No, I don't want that.
He wanted to know that. Not if it needs my vote. I don't know.
What's the purpose of this? Binding arbitration?
It is collective bargaining for public employees.
Why don't you explain the bill to us, Senator Stimson?
Okay. The bill is designed to offer those public employees in school districts that do not have any form of collective bargaining available to them an opportunity to bargain with the school boards, essentially extending the right that other public employees have of bargaining. And, Mr. Chairman, the
I'd like to suggest that we just hold this, and we put it back in the bill file for a while.
Thank you.
No,
that's silver anniversary. Well, I was waiting for some more powerful. The next one I'd like to bring up is House Bill 565, establishing an Alaska Silver Anniversary Commission and providing for an effective date, better known as Leaf Project 84. As the members of the committee will recall, that money was put in the budget with the condition that there be legislation passed which would authorize how it was to be spent and that it had to be voted on by both bodies. I think, if I'm not, Senator Sackey can correct me, but I think that money is there and would probably be there only if this legislation eventually passes the legislature. I don't think it can stay in without that. So at any point, I'd ask, who would you like to testify? Is there someone here that can testify on the bill? Can you give us an idea?
There are people supposed to be here this morning. Are you not here? Is that people like how?
Well, you do it.
Actually, they can testify when it's the intent of the legislature. No state funds will be used for lobbying. Gotta shut them up fast.
That's the truth, too. That's part of the intent. But,
Mr. Chairman?
Another matter, yes.
How much was added, HB 50, on this?
$4 million. $4 million for 84, providing that this legislation passes.
Senator Ferguson and I had to take it out of water and sewer for the villages.
Oh, but that's not so.
We did do. We decreased it by $4 million yesterday.
Because of this bill?
Okay, we won't debate that. Where the money came from. Go ahead and explain the bill, please.
Mr. Chairman, very briefly, the bill establishes a commission of 7 members appointed by the governor, 2 from the administration and 5 from various other areas of the state. The duties of the commission are to coordinate the planning of the statewide celebration in 1984. The commission would solicit proposals, plan a celebration, employ an executive director, and just generally be the organization for planning the celebration. And I would like to note, as Senator Sackett did, that the House Finance Committee attached a letter of intent that no public funds on this project would be used for lobbying either the legislature or the federal government.
Mr. Chairman, what has transpired in the last year or so in terms of financing? Has there been any funding other than that appropriation from the legislature last year?
There was that, Senator Stimson, and then I believe in putting on the presentation in Anchorage and down here in Juneau, I believe that they solicited between $300,000 and $400,000 from the private sector to fund that plan. Other than those two sources of money, I'm not aware of any other.
What is the plan at this point for $4 million, an initial step? What are you going to be back asking the legislature? You or some unpaid lobbyist. Be back asking the legislature for next year.
I think that will be a function of this legislation requires that the commission present a plan to the legislature, and that will be determined by what the commission does over the interim, Senator.
But haven't we heard estimates of what that figure might be?
We have. Yeah, I think.
Give me a ballpark estimate of what we're talking about.
The estimates to put the entire program together, Senator Stimson, that I'm aware of, are between $25 and $30 million.
That's the entire amount for 1984 for the celebration itself?
No. The legislation that we have in front of us requires coordination with what is in existence right now in the various local governments around the state. So I suspect that, say, for example, in Anchorage, it will require that the celebration be coordinated with the sports facility that's in place, the convention center, the performing arts center, and not duplicating any facilities in the various local governments.
Is there any provision that funding be solicited from corporations and private industry? Is there any requirement of that nature in this?
I don't believe there is, Senator Stimson, but I think it's implicit in what's occurred already that the private sector will be a major factor in putting this program together. They've already almost matched what occurred in state funding last year.
Mr. Chairman, I think that, I know you've been busy there. My most recent question was whether there was any requirement that the private sector, corporations and so forth, participate financially. And the answer was that it was implicit. But it would seem to me like there might be some value in in spelling that out specifically.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Stimson is on the right track here. For most funding, you know, come from cultural facilities, anything else, you have to have so much participation, 10% by the local communities. I think that way, at least we won't be building something without the participation of the local communities. In other words, they won't come in with a grandiose idea that it's going to cost the state alone X amount of dollars.
Mr. Chairman, I concur. I think that's excellent. If we could just add, perhaps in the area of the master plan, including specifics of private business participation or something like that. Would that?
Do you have any comments on that? Did you hear the comment?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman. None other than the initial comment that the private sector has participated in the past, and in order for this to go, it definitely will have to participate in the future. And
I personally think that it's a good recommendation. I don't have any problem. I think they've already collected it. You know, I know that the private industry is involved quite a bit in this already, but I think that Senator Ferguson's probably right. Do you have any language that you'd like to propose, just measuring them?
Senator Strzelczyk has just come up with this.
The legislature and that any funds appropriated, there will have to be not less than 10% of those funds and matching funds from the private sector. Is there any objections to the letter of intent? If not, letter of intent is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't act on that proposed amendment.
Oh, on the other one. We have an amendment. We have a request for an amendment on page 2, line 28. First line 27 to delete the word and on line 28. We will add additional words and details of the private sector participation. Is there any objections to that amendment?
It's that and is on line 27.
That's right.
Yeah.
If not, adopted.
Thank
Amendment's
you,
adopted. Senator Lassen.
I'd like to suggest another amendment. That in as much as I've been dealing with vast sums of money, I would suggest that we require the members of the commission to file a tax report.
Oh, come on, please.
Like everyone else.
Are you just discussing it, or are you opting that?
That's an amendment.
Yeah. Okay, I will object for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, don't the members of the boards and commissions have to file that anyhow?
No.
Not unless specified by law.
Is that right?
That'd be a... You said official, which you probably didn't have filed already. And the five layman, which you filed also.
Did you want to comment on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, is the intent of that amendment included on page 3, line 8, Senator Lassen?
No, I'm talking about a personal financial disclosure. We'd like to know if they have any vested interest in spending their money in certain areas.
It's up for discussion. We have a motion, of course. I'd like to, if no one else, I want to comment on it. I don't like it in the first place. I never have liked that law, and so I'm not going to vote for your amendment. I think we run more good people away from serving on some of these things because they're just some people that I think are the caliber of people that we're looking for to do this kind of a project that will not serve if they're required to do that. I know the merit's good, but I don't like filling out one myself, and I'm just opposed to all that. Everybody that wants to serve for this state has to fill out a deal with the government. So if we find them doing something dishonest, we can prosecute. But I just don't see everybody being required to file papers with the government so they can serve the government. That's a philosophical problem I have. Senator Stimson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand your concerns. I do think that Senator Lassen raises an excellent point. We have very little understanding or assurance of how this money is going to be spent. There are a lot of folks that are in positions where they could logically have vested interests in how this money is spent and where it goes. And I would support an amendment to this, Senator Lassen, to require that they comply with the same conflict of interest requirements that any other public official has. I think we're giving them enough money, and it's obvious they're going to be back for a lot more. We're not going to find out if there's any collusion or anything unless there's some provision for systematically taking a look at that.
There's a motion before them. Like I told you, mine is just philosophical. I just don't like the whole thing, but that's just mine. I'm not always vote that way. But anyway, there's a motion before us to include in the bill a requirement that the members of the commission comply with the, what's the law that they comply with? It's Alaska Public Office Commission's requirement that they file disclosure, financial disclosure. Those in favor of the amendment? Those opposed? The amendment carries. Do we have a motion? We have a motion to move it out in individual recommendations. All those in favor? Motion carries. Now that the bill moves out with individual recommendations, motion carries. Don, can you take over a minute?
Yeah,
41. Now, the only one left now is the
you have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to bring Senate Bill 64 up.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 64 is before the committee.
Mr. Chairman, this this is a bill that would extend.
I thought you held it off for tomorrow.
I didn't. No, I held it off for a little while.
I'd like to have it held for tomorrow.
Want to discuss it?
Well, if we're going to hold it off, there's no sense discussing it now.
The next bill that's finally bubbled to the surface is committee substitute for House Bill 31.
Mr. Chairman, we can either do the short or the long or the in-between version. You should have in your bill file Senate committee substitute for House Bill 31 Finance. There is a sectional analysis, and with some relatively minor exceptions, I think this is the bill that was worked on and developed by the Senate Resources Committee. I wonder, Mr. Chairman, Jim Palmer is here, staff for Senator Fahrenkamp. Would be prepared, if you want, just highlights on the bill. Jeff Haynes and David Rogers, Department of Natural Resources. More or less, it's up to you. And I think we need some discussion of the fiscal note, perhaps representatives of the Department of Natural Resources. would you be interested in having a brief overview to be highlighted, or have you had adequate time to look at the
Just
a question. We have three fiscal notes. One, the first earliest one is April 4th, next one is May 22nd, and the last one is June 8th. It goes from $2.7 million to $3 million to $14 million. And the $14 million, there's absolutely no breakdown in the $14 million to spend there. How much goes into the breakdown for personal services and the rest of the categories? And it just is noted on me, when we approved that, what do we look at on the fiscal note? That $13 million is capital that should be going down into the capital. On the fiscal note, it should be going down to the capital.
The governor's office contacted me, said they preferred that the fiscal note be on the bill as opposed to their capital.
Right, but if it's on the
national survey.
If it's on the bill, what I'm saying is that it has to show the
We have religious nonprofit groups leasing land for 55 years and tying it up.
Mr. Chairman, that relates to municipal decisions on leasing. It has nothing to do with state land leasing. So it would be, we are authorizing municipalities to lease for that purpose.
Municipalities to do that.
Mr. Chairman, you know, you could perhaps respond, but I know, for instance, in the Matanuska Susitna Valley, rather than taking on park and rec service, they encourage groups to come in where, with the municipal lands, they will get various kinds of groups to actually lease the land, provide services that are available to on a non-discriminatory, non-religious basis, and then that keeps them from providing governmental service.
Well, we need to take out religious, I think. Unless I'm way off base.
Can you respond to that? I want to know, taking the word religious out, what would be the effect of that? I'm always a little cautious about taking words like that out, and I don't understand what we're doing.
Under our Constitution, it doesn't say that we're not to do anything religious.
Regarding the establishment of religion, right, but as far as leasing land, this happens to be municipal land.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said as far as leasing land, including municipal land, it's been fairly standard to deal with nonprofit and charitable institutions, and simply not to distinguish with whether or not they happen to be religiously affiliated or not. It might be something that's just an arm, you know, of a particular church that doesn't have any religious purpose, but they happen to be the ones that are sponsoring it.
I know that I'm just not clicking, but I didn't understand what you just said. Is this going to, with your motion, would that exempt, what the state from doing what?
Well, we keep the, I think what it would in this case do is keep a municipality from making leases to any charitable or nonprofit organization that had a religious affiliation. What this provision does is authorizes a municipality to do that kind of leasing to nonprofit or charitable or religious organizations, but by taking that word out, I think it would at least be inclined to exclude religious organizations, especially if that were your intent.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if it would be possible to come up with some wording that would be sure that it's non-discriminatory and that they wouldn't be using it for religious purposes, but they might well be the one, just like the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, to provide various kinds of, youth and recreational services. I think that's your intent, isn't it?
My intent is just to make available to charitable organizations, no matter who they are, but not to specifically suggest that religious groups have a preference.
Mm-hmm. Strike religious. Madam Chairman, I think you could probably strike religious.
Religious would be in there. I think I want to give religious preference for
Did you say if you strike religious, that doesn't take away the ability of the churches or anyone to apply for this religious organization? It just says that they don't have preference. Well, I think that's what Senator Ferguson is trying to say. It just don't say Boy Scouts or don't say religious. He just wants to say non-government organization.
Mr. Chairman, I might also point out that this simply exempts them from, under existing law, they are required, before they issue a lease, they are required to get an ordinance at least and perhaps voter ratification. And this provision exempts municipalities from those requirements in these cases. So by deleting religious, you could still offer a lease to a religious organization, but you'd be subject to the existing requirements of voter ratification and or an ordinance, depending on the value of the lease.
I understand that.
Mr. Chairman, they could do it by ordinance then.
Yeah, as I read the statute, the primary purpose of this is to exempt it from the requirements of acquiring either voter ratification or an ordinance, depending on the value of the lease that's also, being offered.
Also in the case that, say, Catholic Charities, if they're doing alcoholism-related work, they could come under the classification of charitable work.
Well, why did you want to exempt religious? Who put this religious in here?
That was language that was drafted last year that we took over. And this was intended for a religion doing charitable work. For instance, Catholic Charities, if they're doing work, say with alcoholics or with...
And they can do it under charitable?
Yes, correct.
Next question.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we delete religious the bill.
Page what line? What?
Page 2, line 22.
Motion before the committee is to delete the word religious. All in favor? Opposed? The word religious is deleted.
Question.
Senator Sackett?
On your fiscal note, these are not total additions, but they're replacements, aren't they?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
On your fiscal notes from May 22nd, April 4th, June 8th, the last one is the only one. They're not additions to your previous ones.
The last one has a large insertion for capital item, which represents what the governor's cadastral survey budget being transferred to the fiscal note. That's correct.
Okay, when you did up the last one, Jeff, did you send over any additional backup than what we have here?
No, I didn't, because it was really based on the one that we did for the House, which did have some backup in it.
But we don't have that backup at all.
Okay, well, I can get that to you. But that's that. There were a couple of additional things in the Senate bill that we had to take care of and added on there, but otherwise it's the same.
What backup did you send the House?
There were just some explanations of where the estimates came from. They're not entirely...
When you were working on this, did you have it,
Mr. Chairman, we did not have this before us in the Resource Committee. This is new since then, so I don't have additional detail on it.
How about
Palmer,
on the capital? Do you have anything on that?
On the
capital?
The capital is simply the governor's budget, and the backup that was submitted for that would be applicable to this.
I haven't seen it. Has anybody seen it? For $13 million? Where, how, who, when?
I'm not following. Okay, I'm reading something else. I'm sorry.
On the fiscal note, I'm down to the capital part. For $13,084.8.
Okay, $11 million of that is simply what the governor had in under the cadastral survey line item in the governor's capital budget.
That's still there.
And that's been removed from the governor's capital budget. That's my understanding, and it has been placed in here. So... the backup that was submitted for the governor's capital budget would be the same, would be applicable to that $11 million. The other $2 million is simply an initial grant fund pool for municipalities relating to the grants provision, and I don't know how to break that down any further than that, other than to say that's related to that section of the bill.
How much?
That was $2
million. Okay, we don't have anything on that at all. All we have here is another one for $600,000.
Is one, beg your pardon, for $600,000? Well, I mean, I know we submitted the backup for the governor's capital budget because that was our number one item in the governor's capital budget.
If I might interject here, if just a couple minutes till 10, we're going to have to go down on the floor. We'll be taking this bill up again at 1:30. And, Mr., can you have the backup at that time?
Sure. Glad to.
So we'll break now to go down to the floor session, and we will come back at 1:30.
What he did, John, they took this from him.
Testing, testing. Interesting concept.
Yeah. Well, Melton wouldn't like it.
They sure wouldn't.
The areas that needed the most are the ones.
The whole area, they.
Okay, it seems like we have an administrative problem with, can I substitute for House Bill 434? Yeah, we have an amendment which we need to evidently bring up. Does everyone have a copy of it? Page 5, line 15.
Chairman, remove the amendment.
We have a motion before us to adopt the amendment. Page 5, line 915. All in favor? Entertain the movement.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
On the fiscal note on this, I think I would recommend, in fact, I move that they put out a new one that indicates a zero fiscal impact. What they did, as you'll notice, that down there beside by Carolyn Guest, she included their whole budgets in the fiscal note. And so if you pass this, we would be duplicated twice.
Oh, yeah. Right, thank you. Okay. Make a motion that the fiscal note be zero. All in favor? Opposed? You have a motion to move the bill out of committee as amended?
Make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
All in favor? Opposed? Those moved out, individual recommendations as amended. Back before us is our old friend and faithful committee substitute for House Bill 31.
Question on the fiscal note this morning. I have some materials for you if you'd like. I'd like to hand those out now.
Yeah, Senator Sackett is interested in fiscal notes today.
Okay.
You mean no one else is?
That's his big name.
Justifiable, sir.
This is the same fiscal note. This is back up.
I figure it's 500,000 per page.
Come to hurry.
I can do it.
Come to hurry.
That fiscal note I submitted with one error corrected on it, which I made myself, typed it myself, and you'll see it's been reduced to the first line item from 591 to 501.2, personal services. And some of the figures look a little bit arbitrary in there. I'll show you why, and here's all the backup that I used to play together with the fiscal notes. On top, you'll see the draft fiscal note, from which I got within the department. This bill, and you'll see that I reduced this one out from what was asked for by about $600,000. The original total without the capital I got from within the department is 1595.5972.2 that's reduced. But anyway, on this fiscal note that I've just given you, you'll see the front page has been adjusted from 591.2 to 501.2. We just hit the wrong key in the paper here. And the following pages is the backup for the operating there by position and by division for each function, and of course by line item, personal services, travel, contractual commodities. The capital, the main component is the cadastral land survey, 11,084.8, and I've attached to that the governor's capital budget write-up, which is simply what was used to put that in the governor's capital budget, that's now been shifted to the fiscal note.
Any members have questions of the commissioner referencing the fiscal note?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
Just so I understand, am I correct that it's just, we're talking about the two fiscal notes, the one for 1595 and 1459, that's total?
Okay, the one for 1595, I'm giving you just for illustration, that's part of the backup that I used. You can disregard that one entirely.
Okay, so this is the total 14059 is it
right,
then? Okay,
that's
I misunderstood
correct.
You. That's the final, please. Mr. Chairman, I believe there were two amendments to the text of the legislation, and I'm not sure. I know just one dealt with the mental health plans, I believe. Perhaps Mr. Plum, or maybe you have those, and I'm...
I have three amendments before me, one on page 9, page 25, page 30, section 32.
I have one for 9, line 17, page 25 and 20. You have another one?
I have one for add new section 32, delete as follows from the commissioner.
From us? We don't have any amendments.
Chairman, I'm not sure we know what amendment you're talking about.
Right. I apologize.
We understand.
Okay, yeah, I think this is already in the bill, right?
You already incorporated in the committee, finance committee, yes, substitute. Okay. We're down to 2 amendments then. All right, if you want to turn to page 9, line 17.
New section was requested by the Department of Law to be added to this bill. This was prompted by the Potlatch Ponds controversy in the Fairbanks area. The judge came down to a decision in that court case a few days ago.
Right.
The Department of Law would like this language to make it clear that the Department of Natural Resources has the authority to dispose of lands.
What does this do in reference to the judge's decision?
Well, Mr. Chairman, right now we are enjoined from doing anything with that land by order of the court. So we're going to have to appeal it. We're going to try to get an expedited appeal. I can promise that I will do everything that we can within the department to get that land in the hands of the original purchasers. But right now, that's the order.
Does this help that?
Well, what this will do, this is really more prospective than anything else, because this could recur in conjunction with many other land disposals.
Mr. Chairman, that is the point. It will take care of any problems we have in the future with regards to land disposals. It's not clear what impact it will have on the Potlatch Pond situation.
Okay. Senator Strzelecki, were you?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to move the amendment.
What is the amendment?
I know it's not.
It should be.
By Farron, Kent, Hillman, Halpern,
Medicine. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We have a motion, of course, to adopt amendment on page 9, line 17. All in favor of adopting amendment? Opposed? Amendment's adopted. The next amendment we have would be on page 25, line 20. Should be a copy of that in each member's packet.
Move for adoption.
Any objections? All in favor of adopting the amendment on page 25, line 20? There are no objections. Any other discussions on this bill from the committee members? Senator Ferguson?
I remember when we passed this act back in 78, we had a provision there for duck shacks. And the governor failed to implement that, I believe.
The regulations to authorize that were part of our general review of land use permit, general revision of land use permit regulations. And all I can tell you is they're being held up because they're part of the permit reform program. They're all part of sets of regulations that are to be adopted as soon as the permit reform regulations are adopted. We do intend to implement the program.
They won't be adopted then?
Yes.
Can they be adopted by this fall when the duck season is upon us?
I don't see any
reason. Mr. Chairman, we have drafts available as soon as possible. We're going to get and do final revisions to those drafts, and everything being equal, I think that there's a good chance that they can be adopted by this season. We'll do our best, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator?
No, I just want to
inquire your comment.
Mr. Chairman?
One statement from the Deputy Commissioner. Is it the intent of the department, and will they follow through to continue orderly land disposal and land being made available to the public when we pass this bill, which ultimately will relieve you of the 100,000-acre responsibility?
Absolutely. In fact, I've already promised at least one committee in this legislature will sell at least 100,000 acres next year.
And there will be a philosophical policy to continue making land available for the public.
No chance.
Your word's good. Thank you. Any questions for members of the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
Just one, if I might. The override mechanism is not the one I would have wanted, and yet I'm certainly willing to think this is a good bill and would like to support it, but what is your situation on subdivisions now? Are you going to see that legal access will be provided then? And what about capital improvements? Is it just a question of there not being built that's an issue here?
That's the only question.
Mm-hmm. In other words, when you're providing for a subdivision, what would you show? Would you merely show, say, the right of line along a section line, or the possibility of real access? Sometimes that's it's not something where you can really get to it.
Okay. Well, we are required to provide legal access to all of our disposals, and we do. Whether that, in fact, is practical constructed access is another question. The assessment language in here that we do annually requires us to submit the total cost of developing any subdivision, including capital improvements, as part of the estimate, and then it's the legislature's choice to fund that.
Yeah. So in other words, it will be done, and then it's up to us if we don't fund it, why? Yes.
But if you do, we will build the roads and other funded capital improvements.
Did we get it? We didn't get it typed yet. 31. Yeah. Do we hear a motion?
Yes, we're not moving the bill, just for a second.
I'm all in favor of moving 31. Well,
what's the provision now on the maximum that we presently have? That's out? 100,000?
Yes.
Yeah, the maximum. Yeah.
Okay, how does this thing affect my area?
I'm sorry?
How does this bill affect my area?
It affects your area in that annually we will come in and make a proposal for disposing of land, and you'll have the option of how much you want us to dispose by how much you fund us.
Okay. And we will base that proposal on a demand assessment, so it should have some relationship to demand in any particular area, including yours.
Okay. I don't mind that part. I just didn't like you coming in, having to come in with 100,000 in everything.
Senator Ferguson, do you have any questions? Senator Dankwith, do you have any questions? I've been trying to get this bill out of committee for almost a month.
We'd really like it to move along. Would you accept the motion?
I just have one more question.
No, I don't have any more. Senator Dankwith, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. I'm interested in, we changed the fiscal notes, and I wanted to find out, and maybe you can answer that, in Section 43 of this, is the funding for that in this fiscal note?
Yes.
What's the page on that?
I'm sorry, page 24. I just want to make sure that the funding is in there.
$14 million, I should hope so.
Are you taking out this rough just?
Yeah.
No, it's not, sir.
How much it cost?
Roughly.
I think it'll be. Let's see. 600. I'd say one LMO, two. One land management officer, too, at $35,436. This was put in after we'd done the fiscal note for finance.
You don't need that. You don't need any more people in here.
Well, this particular section was put in after we'd done the fiscal note.
It was done, and I think some of you may have talked to about what happened was that when we did this land bill for 466, one guy in Anchorage got dropped back, and he fell through the cracks, and I wanted enough money put in here so that you people could negotiate with the city to. There was one parcel of property, two of them sitting side by side. One of them leased for, I don't even remember the figures now, but just a tremendous amount. And the other guy sitting right next to it had his claim in, so I wanted enough to settle that one deal between 566 and whatever that is. And I think the figure was about 500,000 that should have been. See, the city of Anchorage will not do it. They said the state did it. You know, y'all came through, we're not going to pick up the tab for something the state did. And so it's not appropriating money to any individual. It's giving me the money to negotiate with the city of Anchorage to clean up that. And am I hitting you with something you don't know anything about?
You know anything about it? I don't know anything about it.
Mr. Chairman, I think... Mr. Chairman,
what the hell are you talking about?
I just heard about Lask 84.
Mr. Chairman, I think this will affect more than that one individual. I suspect it will affect everyone who has converted a lease pursuant to that law. in which case we would have to have one person available to reassess, reappraise the lease values pursuant to this section.
Mr. Chairman, now I am getting a little nervous. If it opens up the door, just how much of a fiscal impact does it create?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. I'm asking why that 43 wasn't in fiscal. Originally, we had it in a note, and I understood that, and I'm trying to find the right note. I thought it was, I apologize for not having the exact fiscal note that we were talking about. If I could have a recess, I could find it. If you care to, but I do want that to be funded in.
Well, we've got a lot of fiscal notes here. We could possibly take a choice.
Well, the current fiscal note is one dated 6/8/81, for which the total is 14,059,000.0. But this.
Well, all right. Then that gives me that prerogative. I'll move the amendment and the corrections in the fiscal note, changing that to 14659.
Any objection to the two amendments?
70.
All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? But we have a constituent that would like to testify a reference to this bill for a moment before we move the bill from the committee. Yep.
My name is Carolyn Burge, and I'll make this brief. I, first of all, want to say that I consider that I should have to protest, first of all, on the new coalition in this legislature, which makes all legislation unconstitutional and void should the hearing come out that the other side won. I mean, Duncan's side won. So, first of all, I wish to protest on that. Then the second thing I want to do is ask you if, in this bill, land that is under a United States patent and has the status of belonging to the United States, in that the law was put in years ago, would still have that same status? Would it? You know, I mean, in the Alaska Statehood Act, it says that all land, no, anything that the United States government owns shall remain in the United States. You know what I mean? It means that they have domination over it. Now, would this bill allow that? Still allow it?
As far as I know, there's no land in this bill transferred anywhere. Doesn't affect any of the U.S. patented land. It pertains only to state land.
So we have a home that's on a United States patent, and it's under a United States mining claim. In fact, it's called Portsmouth Lode. And I was just wondering whether this had any effect on changing that to state land.
Yes, Deputy Commissioner's here. Commissioners, does this have any effect? Does this bill have any effect on U.S. Patented land?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Burke.
Oh, that's your... Mr. Burke, you might want to make an analysis of this.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anything further before this final action is taken on this bill? Senator Sturzewski, would you please offer the chair some sort of a motion?
Sir, it's been a month.
I want you to know
we've
been trying to move this bill for over a month now. I just want to call
you. We've had no cooperation. Today we're willing to cooperate. Good. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 31 Finance as amended with a revised fiscal note, individual recommendations. Would you want a flowery speech or something?
All in favor of the motion? Those opposed? bills carried out, individual recommendations. We will recess until 4:30, at which time Senator Ferguson will present Senate Bill or House Bill 121. 4:30.
Has to do with retirement.
121.